It's Monday, but it's a good one. And that, by the way, is a band I love called AJR. I'm waiting for them to come and tour because they are a great, great band. All right, so this, John, the rollout of the new baseball rules regarding illegal substances, and the very first guy got busted yesterday, a guy from the Mariners, got busted yesterday, and he got the perp walk right off the field. So they're taking this really seriously. But the rollout has been, needless to, at least to me, an absolute disaster. It's been a circus. And Rob Manfred, who is, I think, now quickly becoming the worst commissioner in professional sports.
Worse than Gary Bettman?
I don't even know what Gary Bettman. You tell me what he's done. I don't even know.
Nothing. That's why nobody likes him.
I don't follow hockey on a daily basis like I follow the NFL and the NBA. But he was asked by The Athletic, beyond being quoted in the press, why aren't you the one speaking on these matters proactively? Should you be more vocal and transparent? Or do you think waiting to see how this works out and then commenting is the better strategy? He says, well, if people want to talk to me directly, as evidenced by the fact that I got on the phone with you, I'm happy to do that. But I think the best way, particularly with an on-field issue like that, is to have the people who have been hands-on the issue be available to the media. And we've certainly done that. I guess he sent Theo Epstein out there. You know, if you're the commissioner, what would Adam Silver do? I think every commissioner should ask themselves that. What would Adam Silver do? Adam Silver would hold a press conference, and he would take every single question until the reporters, as they say, punched themselves out. Rob Manfred is elusive. You don't hear from him very much. Even when things are unraveling in a gigantic way, the way it has with this illegal substance thing, you still don't hear from Rob Manfred, except for this one interview with The Athletic.
Well, I'm going to do something that is probably stupid. I'm going to defend Major League Baseball a little bit here. I was having a conversation with somebody over the weekend, and they said, hey, why did they have to throw this thing at the pitchers in the middle of the season? Why didn't they announce it now and say we're going to start it at the beginning of next year? And I actually feel, Mace, that the problem with offense was so dire this season that they had to do it now. The numbers are staggering. These are the numbers that Theo's been quoting. That strikeouts are way up. Balls put in play are way down. Nobody's stealing any bases. There's no movement on the base pass. What did you and I one time talked about? The overall team batting average, which is normally around 270, was down to like 228. There was just no offense in the game. So I think they had to do something immediate. Now, if you agree with that premise, that they had to do something immediate, I don't know a good way to do it. Do you?
You could have waited. In other words, to address the offense thing in the middle
Correct.
Of the season.
Correct.
I think you bring back the old baseball, the one that's not dead.
I think
that's
they may have. I think they may did it and not say anything, but that wasn't working. So, do you agree with me that the problem was bad enough where they had to do something immediate? They couldn't wait until the start of next year.
Yes.
Okay.
I
so
think
if you had to do something, if you go with that premise, how could they have better executed it?
Rob Manfred could have stood out there and said, "Look, here's what we're going to do, and here's why we're doing it. And pitchers have to understand this, and managers have to understand this, and fans have to understand this. This is why we're doing this." And explain it. It's the old, you know, it's
Well, I know why they're doing it. You know why they're doing it.
If you don't tell your story, somebody else will. Here we are talking about Rob Manfred and what he said about not talking about it in The Athletic.
Right, but you know why. I mean, they're doing it because the offense is brutal. And you know, you and I have been talking about that for weeks. They're trying to right a wrong. So once you do that, I don't know. Like, it's the old thing. Once you decide to break up with somebody, is there really a good way to do it? No matter how you do it, it's going to be bad. So no matter how they executed this pitchers putting goop on the ball strategy,
yeah,
it wasn't going to be good. Now, here's one thing they could have done. They could have taken it off the field. Like, for example, I don't know if this makes you tell me if you think this makes it better or worse.
Okay.
They think a pitcher's doing stuff.
Yep.
He walks into the dugout. The umpires very easily could take him into the tunnel, do what they've been doing openly and publicly.
Yep.
And say, we're throwing the pitcher out. He's gooping up the ball. This undress the pitcher in front of the crowd on the middle of the field's not working. Would it have been better if they would have done that, to do it at least semi-privately out of the view of the TV cameras?
Go into a tunnel?
Or does that make it worse? Does that make it less transparent?
That makes it less transparent. I think you want it to be transparent for fans. By the way, it's worked. Spin rates, the rate at which the baseball
spins. Numbers are
spins
up offensively across the board.
And
I disagree
with
Mason.
The spin rate has gone down. Why?
Because, like Blake Trinan said, he said that when you do it out in front of everybody, it's like you're almost making it seem like the pitchers are all guilty parties until proven innocent. And it's like they feel like they're perpetrators before they even get checked. And I feel like
that's a fair point.
Yeah, and honestly, if you think about it, you could even go as far as to say, none of us even needed to know about any of this. Like, this never needed to be a thing. They could have done all of this without telling the fans.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You got to tell the fans. The fans are your partners in the game. They're your partners in the game. Baseball
but, Mace,
fans,
you could still
one and
tell, you could still tell the fans without public, you know, it's the equivalent of, you know, back in the Game of Thrones days, public lynchings or public beheadings. Do you need to do this public? Did that Mariners guy need to be flogged out in front of everybody on the mound?
No.
Or could they have done it in the tunnel?
I wouldn't compare it to a beheading, but if he had illegal substances, then you
we could compare his career to a beheading.
Yeah.
My point is, like, don't you think they could have decided, you know, since they're doing it in the middle of the season, let's say that they decided this needs to be dealt with immediately.
Right.
They could have just made the rule to change and check them for substances or whatever, not put out a big press release, not made a big deal out of it. And then after the fact, after a couple of weeks, you know, like Rob Manfred said last week already, it seems to be working. After a couple of weeks, then put something out there that says, hey, we've noticed that the offensive numbers have been down and we noticed that this sticky thing has been a big issue. So here's what we're doing to fix it. And it's working. Don't you think that would have been a better idea?
Here's the weird thing about this. So when I was working in the minors for the Toledo Mudhens, my friend Steve Maple, who is a great pitcher. Never made it to the big leagues, but he's great for the Mudheads. And he showed me 100 places where you could hide illegal substances. Like, the weirdest places. On your shoe. On the inside of your stirrup. There's no way you're ever going to completely crack down on this, because pitchers are smarter than umpires. Well, they're finding another way.
Right, but Mace, the way you could at least expose them is you look at the ball. You know, where if they're putting goop on the ball, it'll show up, you know, when the umpires and the fielders and everybody pick up the balls and look at them. If you see a scuff mark or goop on the ball, then you know what you're looking for. Then you just watch the guy's fingers and see where he goes with them.
Well, Mace, that's why they're all stripping and you know, taking all their clothes off and their belts off, because they're trying to prove, no, I don't have anything hidden anywhere.
Right, right. I know, and when I see that, and I don't think it needs to be the spectacle. Like, I think things are adjusting now. People understand I'm going to get checked. I'm going to get checked twice a game.
Well, like, if I was going to the Dodger game tonight, I would expect Bauer to get checked by the Giants.
Oh,
these are rivals. They hate each other. They're in first and second place.
But I think every starter gets checked twice no matter what.
Oh, is that the way it's working?
Yeah, that's the way it's going. Every starter gets checked twice, and every reliever gets checked once. So tonight, I'm sure that Trevor Bauer, who's pitching against Anthony Descalfani, both of those guys will get checked. Tomorrow night, it's Walker Buehler versus Kevin Gausman. Both those guys are going to be checked, and every reliever will be checked once. I just think that there is no public face for baseball the way there is a public face for the NBA, or even the NFL. Now, Roger Goodell screws everything up. I think he leads from behind. But Manfred is worse, because you just never hear from him. He's like trapped in an office on Madison Avenue in New York City, and we never hear from the guy. Get out in front and tell your story and be aggressive about it. Otherwise, other people are writing the narrative. By the way, anything we're talking about today, you can jump in. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Dodgers-Giants tonight, a really, really big series. Dodgers 3.5 games behind the Giants now. So two-game series. By Wednesday, we could be either a game and a half back, or we could be 5.5 games back. Giants-Dodgers have the two best records in Major League Baseball. Dodgers actually tied for second with 47 wins. So, John, you hang with a lot of high rollers, right?
God bless them, yes.
So our old friends from sports, Rafael Nadal, Pau Gasol, and Cristiano Ronaldo have opened a brand new celebrity hangout thing in Beverly Hills. It's called to tell or tattle or something like that. There's also one in Barcelona and one in Ibiza. And again, Pau Gasol, cool. He's still around town doing something stuff. Looks really fancy in all the pictures. I think all this stuff is totally, with due respect to these guys who are out there making a bit, it's so classist. Like, it's so overblown.
Of course it
and
is.
Classist.
Well, wait, so is Beverly Hills.
But, like, I would never, ever pay a bottle fee. Ever. Under any, I'm never buying
right,
a full bottle
they
of
don't
booze,
need,
period.
They don't need you to pay for bottle service. They got
it's
a bunch
for
of,
them.
Yeah, they got a bunch of posers in Beverly Hills with money that are going to do it for them. They don't need you.
But you know what's weird about it is, like, have you been to the, you haven't been to the Super Bowl in a few years, right?
Yeah, not since 98 or 99.
Okay,
whenever it was in San Diego. Boy,
when we used to go to the Super Bowl regular, we would always get invited to parties. Mm-hmm. And, like, it would be the Reggie Bush Super Bowl party. And I'd be all excited.
Steinberg Super Bowl party. Yeah,
yeah, I'd be all excited. Hey, we're going to Reggie Bush's Super Bowl party. Then you get there and you realize it's separated by rings. So at the very middle is Reggie Bush and all the famous celebrities and famous players. Mm-hmm. Then there's another ring of semi-famous people. And then there's us, the peons, the losers, on the outside ring. And there's no way, even if you go to that party, you're never going to see Reggie Bush. You're never going to see any of the stars because they're in the center of the whole place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's how a lot of I go to a lot of charity events. A lot of charity events work like that.
Now, would you try to get into a place like this?
Not if I wasn't invited, no. If somebody said, hey, I'll put you on the list, I would go. But if they
what if somebody said, hey, we're going to Tattle. Do you want to come with us?
Tattle?
Are we on the list?
Or Tattle.
Are we on the list? I've already told you, I will not wait in line for anything.
Yeah, no, you're let's
I won't even wait in line at In-N-Out.
Let's say you're on the list.
Yeah, then I'd go.
I wouldn't go because you're going to be in the same thing. You're going to be in the outer ring. The famous people, anybody you want to really mix with, are in the middle of the restaurant, in the middle of Tattle, and then everybody else is in the outer ring. The losers on the outer ring paying
one
for
time, Lisa
bottle
and I,
fee.
Lisa and I went to a charity event, and this charity event, all the money for the tickets was going to charity, and we supported it was one of Lisa's doctors who helped her through breast cancer was one of the doctors throwing the charity event. So we wanted to support her. And it was like $300 a ticket to see Pink in a very small setting, like maybe 500 people. So we paid the $300 a ticket, and we went to see Pink, and it was great because it was a stage, no seats, but like an open area. And we start making our way towards the stage, and some guy stops us. He goes, "Let me see your wristband." And I show him my wristband, and my wristband is blue. He goes, "You need a red wristband to get past this point." And I said, "Really? What did I have to do to get a red wristband?" He goes, "What'd you pay to get in?" I said, "I think $300 a ticket." He goes, "Yeah, they paid $500. I go, "I don't even know that was an option." He goes, "See those guys right up leaning on the stage?" He goes, "Yeah," he goes, "they paid $1,000. Those are the green wristbands."
Wow.
So that's a thing. That's what's going on.
Yeah, see, I mean, for charity, obviously, that's a nice thing. And if you can get more money, get more money, and it's for a good cause.
Yeah, but I didn't even know. I would have paid more if I could have gotten closer. I just didn't know.
You know, I'll tell you another reason why I don't belong in places like that and why a lot of people should not go to places like that coming up. Don't forget, at 3:30, we're giving away another 4-pack of tickets to join me for a private advanced screening of Marvel's Black Widow Thursday, July 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. We're going to do that at 3:30. Make sure you're here for that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, LA's first place professional rugby team, the LA Giltinis, inviting you to come out to the LA Coliseum to celebrate the 4th with fireworks. For the first time, you can experience professional rugby. You get to go down on the field at the Coliseum to watch the fireworks. Right now, caller number 7, 877-710-ESPN. Caller number 7, 877-710-ESPN. you get a six-pack of tickets to go see the Giltinis on the 4th of July. And for $4 tickets, go to giltinis.com/tickets for more information. The one thing I noticed this weekend, John, is out and around and doing stuff, and I think, you know what has died during the pandemic? I think dressing up has died. I think people look like
more
than I've ever seen.
I'm doing something tonight where I got to wear a suit.
Oh.
It's only the second time I've worn a suit in a year. I'm emceeing the Irrelevant Week banquet tonight in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
And so I'm throwing a suit on, but you're right. Like, I haven't worn dress shoes more than three times in over a year. You're right. Yeah. It's a huge casualty of the pandemic.
I have not worn
formal
dress shoes
clothes
in since before the pandemic. I just don't know what the point of dress
shoes
is.
Okay, what about besides dress shoes, since those are like special occasions? Yeah. When's the last time either of you, well, John, I don't think we need to ask you because you wear normal clothes golfing.
Yeah, well, like when you golf, you wear a golf shirt and golf shorts, right?
Okay, so both of you guys then, all of you, even Jorge, aside from going to a place where certain attire is required, like golf, like if you're just out going to Home Depot or running or errands or whatever,
right, yes.
When's the last time you wore pants other than like sweatpants or just like lounge pants?
Well, I live in Manhattan Beach, so I'm normally in shorts to go to like Home Depot or go to the store. I wear shorts to most restaurants in Manhattan Beach.
I wore jeans one time.
That's kind of like the female version of jeans, because I can say that I think I've worn jeans maybe twice since the pandemic happened.
Otherwise, I'm wearing sweatshirts, t-shirts, and hoodies. That's my life now. What's that? Jammies.
And jammies.
Yeah, jammies. Don't forget jammies. Jammy bottoms.
Jammy
for
bottoms.
Reminding me there, Jorge. Jorge, what is going on with you? You haven't said a word today.
Oh, I'm taking calls and, you know, stuff.
Did you already get the seventh caller?
Yeah, I did. I'm working on his info right now.
All right. Okay. Go ahead.
I just had to jump in for the jam.
So this is interesting. The NCAA Division I Council has recommended that the NCAA cease long-held amateurism rules regarding name, image, and likeness rights. This is gigantic. This means if the NCAA, in fact, does adopt this, you will be able to, Keaton Slovis will be able to do an endorsement for a car dealership from USC this year. Or any big player in any town might be able to do an endorsement of some kind,
right,
own their likeness, image, and make a little dough.
Now, here's an interesting question. If they sell Keaton Slovis's jersey in the student store, does he get any of that money?
Because his name is not on the jersey, I bet you
I don't
not.
Think it's gone that far yet, Because
what
I think
about,
they're basically just saying, you can do what you want and profit off your likeness, whatever.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen now? And I'm in favor of this ruling, by the way. I think kids, it's ridiculous that they produce billions and don't get it. But Mace, like, Alabama's going to set up deals in advance.
Sure.
They're going to say, hey, if you're Steve Mason, the best defensive tackle prospect in the country, if you come here, we'll get you a car commercial right out of the gate.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be the way.
That will be part of the inducement. In other words, an Alabama booster who owns a car dealership will say, hey, come to Alabama. I'll pay you this amount of money to endorse my dealership. It's basically, it turns into pay for play to some degree, I think, especially.
Well, I think they're going to have to be
creative.
Which
is already happening, right?
Yeah. Well, by the way, people have been getting money handshakes since I was in college.
Oh, sure.
And cars.
Right.
To a degree, right? Now they can just be less discreet about it.
Even our quarterback at Bowling Green State University, Brian McClure, he was driving a very, very fancy car by Bowling Green standards. And we always said, he's the quarterback.
My freshman year at UCLA, the four best players on the basketball team were all driving the exact same make, model, and color Trans Am from the same dealer around campus, and all of us went, there's no way this ends good. And the next year, we were put on probation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been going on forever.
It's been going on forever. Lindsay texted something. This is interesting, given the fact that tonight is the night that the Clippers crash and burn. The Ten Commandments of Lakers fans, which I like this. And tell me where you are on these, John, because I think you'll be pro each of them. Thou shalt not root for the Celtics or Clippers is rule number one.
Right, but what do you do if the Celtics are playing the Clippers? Do you just opt out of it?
No, you'd have to root for the Clippers, and hopefully we never have to make that Sophie's Choice because we're keeping track of championships. The global question is the big one. Who's got the most championships, not who's got the who's
completely
gets a championship
agree.
In L.A.? Thou shalt not abandon thy team during losing seasons. Well, we went through those. We went through, I think, six of those, and nobody gave up. Nobody gave in. It was dark. It was depressing, but we didn't give up. Thou shalt acknowledge anyone wearing Lakers gear in public with a call of Go Lakers. Do you do that, John?
I do.
Yeah, me too. Whenever I see somebody wearing a Lakers thing, go Lakers. Dodgers thing, go
do
Dodgers.
Do you really, though?
I do. I actually do.
I will say, I did this morning. I was in a grocery store, and I walked by, and a older lady had a Lakers shirt on, and I said, like that shirt. She goes, thanks. I'll comment on it.
Right. I have literally probably a third of my wardrobe is T-shirts and hoodies and stuff with different teams.
Well, a third of your wardrobe is that?
Yeah, a third of my wardrobe.
Well, at least you're better than Michael Thompson. 98% of his wardrobe is that.
No, actually says a team. Is that what Michael has?
Oh, yeah. He just wears swag.
Wow.
Like Clay and Trace, and it's Anta swag from Clay or like baseball swag from Trace. Or
that's how my dad is, but sadly my dad buys it all or we buy it for him. He doesn't get it for free.
I buy it all too.
About the Lakers gear or Dodgers gear, do you guys acknowledge people when you see them outside of L.A.?
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
That's the best time to do it.
Okay.
Especially like if you're, in back east or you're in Mexico or wherever, you see somebody with a Lakers shirt, you obviously.
I'm like wearing a Dodger hat and I'm walked by somebody on a plane that has a Dodgers hat on, I'll just look at them and go, nice hat. Yeah, I always comment on that.
Thou shalt have no other goats before Lakers legends. Absolutely.
Well, you could make, I've said it a million times, you could make a team of guys who have played for the Lakers, and they would beat a team comprised of players from every other team. The Lakers' history is unparalleled.
Do you guys consider LeBron, can he be on that list
now?
Yeah,
anybody who's ever played an official game for the Lakers,
okay,
you can put on your Lakers team.
But
you can take Karl Malone, you can take Gary Payton.
But, I mean, I say flat out, I don't know, is this controversial? I say flat out LeBron is the GOAT.
Well, Jordan. That's why it's controversial.
I put LeBron above Jordan.
Yeah,
me
that
too.
That is controversial.
You think that's controversial?
I do.
LeBron has been – he's going to wind up being the all-time scorer in the history of the league. He's won championships in, what, three different cities?
Yeah.
Brought the first championship ever to the city of Cleveland, the woebegone city of Cleveland. He's the best player – And does things that Jordan never did.
Like?
Brilliant passer, piles up points, great rebounder, triple doubles, clutch. I mean,
right.
LeBron is the greatest player I have ever seen.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I think LeBron, and people get mad at me because I, kind of grew up in the Kobe era. I think LeBron's the most complete player I've ever seen play.
Yeah.
I think he is. But I think there are people that are married to Jordan as the greatest of all time, and they're just never coming off it.
Well, they're just ring counters. I think it's easy to be a ring counter, but you've got to look at the
well, if you're ring counting, then Bill Russell should be your guy.
Correct. And yet nobody says that. People don't say Bill Russell, even though he's got what? Did he have 11?
Yep.
11. How about this? Thou shalt not wear green even on St. Patrick's Day. John, do you follow that rule?
I wear green on St. Patrick's Day, but that's it.
Tell you something weird, John. Not stepdad Leo?
Yeah.
Owns only green shirts.
That's his thing?
Because he's a Notre Dame fan.
Oh, okay.
So he wears only green shirts. If you walk into not stepdad Leo's closet, you will see a closet filled with green shirts.
Jerry West told me once, I have no idea if this is true, but he told me once he owns nothing green in terms of clothing.
Wow.
Nothing. Shirts, hats, cap, nothing. Nothing green.
Thou shalt not miss any Lakers playoff games. Of course, honor thy Dr. Buss and Genie Buss, absolutely. And thou shalt have at least one Kobe Bryant jersey, which I've got a really cool one that they don't make anymore. The infinity sign. Kobe, do you know that one? The 8?
Yeah.
It looks like an infinity sign turned on its side.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I've got a couple of them. And then my favorite one was one year the All-Star game was coming to L.A. And as a promotion, the NBA sent me Kobe's, like a replica of Kobe's All-Star jersey.
Yep.
And that's right when your friend Jeff Blake got us into Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, former executive vice president at Sony.
Yeah, so his son Jeffrey now works at SNL. And Jeffrey got us in, so I had Kobe sign it to him, and I mailed it to him as a thank you for getting us into SNL. Yeah. And he's a huge Lakers fan, so I'm really glad it ended up. Yeah, I put it in a good home.
I think I shorted Jeff. I think he was the president of international distribution or something like that. So he's a great guy. Great guy. All right, coming up next for you, John. You have you sent us an email, which I think is interesting. The story about Chauncey Billups and Jason Kidd. And, of course, both have been hired now. Jason Kidd down in Dallas and Chauncey Billups up in Portland, and there's some controversy about that. We'll get into that coming up next for you. And then Radio Tinder is 20 minutes away. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, what's going on? Thanks a lot for listening. We like you guys a lot. And we're giving away, by the way, two four-pack of tickets to join me for our Marvel Studios Black Widow exclusive advance screening Thursday, July 8th at the Regal Cinemas in West Covina. Make sure you got two chances to win. One, John's going to do a game at 3:30. Two, if you can figure out my lie of the day, we'll do that at the very end of the show. So, Ireland, this is an interesting story that has come up over the weekend over the hiring of Jason Kidd in Dallas and Chauncey Billups in Portland.
Okay, so here's the deal. There is an article in USA Today written by Emily Adams.
Yes.
And she points out that, well, I should preface this by saying, if you listen to our show, you know that I'm super, super sensitive to cancel culture. I hate it. I hate seeing people get canceled. I know it's deserved in some cases, but I think our culture, especially over the past year, has gotten into this weird space where if a person has made a major mistake in their life, and I admit that they're major, that we want to throw them away. That the attitude is they don't deserve to have another job in the public sphere. That for whatever reason, they are not worthy of that because they've made a major mistake. So that's kind of where Emily goes with this story. She says that she – and both, by the way, both these guys are going to get these jobs. Kidd is going to be
the
coach.
Already had him.
Jason sent out a tweet today thanking the Lakers for all they did for him. And Chauncey Billups, it was announced either last night or this morning that he's got a 5-year deal, 4 years guaranteed to coach the Blazers.
Yep.
So reading from Emily's article, off the court controversy is a topic of conversation with both hires. And she points out that in 2001, Kidd was arrested for suspicion of hitting his wife and pled guilty to spousal abuse. And Billups settled a civil case based on a 1997 incident. I'm not going to go deeply into either one of these. If you want to read about it, you can. But the point is that these are serious infractions.
Yes.
And that I believe, Mace, they should be addressed. I don't mean to sweep anything under the rug. But let's take these case by case. So Jason Kidd, since that happened, has gone to counseling.
Yep.
He's made public apologies. He has coached the Bucks. He's coached the Nets. He's been an assistant for the Lakers. And now he's going to be the head coach of the Mavs.
Right.
Not to mention that most of his playing career came after that incident. So, including he played the Lakers the next year in the finals. I think that when Jason gets announced as the new coach of the Mavs, he should be asked about it. I think he should address it. I think Mark Cuban should address it. Part of this article criticizes Cuban because the Mavericks have a history they haven't been the friendliest organization to women.
Correct.
I'll just put it that way.
Yep.
So I think all of this deserves to have a light shined on it. But do I think that something that happened with Jason Kidd in 2001 should keep him from being named the coach of the Mavericks? I don't. And same thing with Chauncey Billups. In 1997, he's a part of this incident. It's ugly. The more you read about it, it gets uglier.
Yeah, it's a rape accusal.
Right. But most of his playing career happened after that. He went to work for several years for ESPN, which is owned by Disney. So Disney was willing to give Chauncey Billups a chance. And now that he's an assistant coach for the Clippers. And now he's going to go coach in Portland. Do I think that because of this incident in 1997, Chauncey Billups should not be the coach of the Blazers? I don't. And my question to both you and Lindsay is am I being insensitive? You guys know how I feel about cancel culture. I'm looking for people to get second and third chances.
Well, clearly
am I guilty
been,
of being insensitive here?
Clearly, they haven't been canceled. Let's say that, first of all. They have not been canceled. They have both worked continuously.
Should they be? Am I being too lenient?
Well, I don't know that they ever... I think right now calls for examination of things that may not have been examined very closely in the past. Like, I don't know how widespread the story was about Chauncey Billups, or how widespread the story was about the woman involved, or how widespread the story was about Jason Kidd and his wife. I don't know.
And you're right to say that in 2021 it would get more attention than it did back then.
Correct. And so that's why I think it bears examination. And it's okay to bring it up now. Now, I don't know what the waiting period is. Obviously, Mark Cuban and whoever owns the Dallas Mavericks have decided that the waiting period is over to rehab an image or to fix a wrong or to try to evolve as a person. That's what's gone on here. And I think it's probably right. I think I come down on your side of this. The incidents happened in 2001 and 1997. We're talking about 20 years. We're
right.
talking about people paying a price 20 years later. Now, should it come up at the press conference? Yeah, I think it should be asked. But do I think it should keep him from a job? No, I don't.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I think the fact that he was able to get a job with the Lakers as an assistant, I think that obviously enough people thought highly enough of him to where that part of his life has, at least, you know, in his case.
And Lindsay, let me add to that, since you mentioned it, that in my 2 years of dealing with Kidd, he could not have been nicer, more professional. If you ask Frank Vogel about him, Vogel, you remember, Mace, there was that rumor that Kidd being an assistant was going to be bad for Frank Vogel.
Sure.
And as soon as the Lakers struggled, Frank says none of that was ever true, that Jason was completely supportive. Matter of fact, if you'll know, and you guys, Lindsay, you probably know this because I don't know if we ever asked for him, but Jason didn't do any interviews as a Laker assistant. He didn't want to. He didn't want the light shined on him because he wasn't the head coach.
Well, and here's the thing, John. When he was hired by the Lakers, this subject came up.
And so I think that he
And it
has,
should. But it right. This is what should happen. This should follow you everywhere. Now,
right.
does that mean you should or shouldn't work? No. But it should follow you everywhere. In every new opportunity, that question needs to be asked.
All right, so Lindsay, I interrupted you. Do you think, are you okay with these two guys getting head coaching jobs?
I think that when you get an endorsement for a job in general, an assistant job in general, with a team that's as highly thought of as the Lakers, which it's not like you're burying it in some obscure city that no one's really going to notice. When you have a team like the Lakers supporting you, I think that that means, I don't have a problem with it because I feel like, you know, the Lakers, you have like the Lakers' blessing, I guess.
Right. And he was, if this was, and I don't know if it was or not, but if this was some sort of audition to see how he would handle being back in the spotlight, he passed. I mean, you talk to anybody who worked with him. I mean, you won't find anybody who says a bad word. Now, does that mean he shouldn't be asked about what happened back in 2001? No, he should be. It should be addressed.
I wonder if it'll actually come up.
I think after all these stories, it probably will.
Yeah, probably. Probably. All right. It's interesting. I think what we need to do in the cancel culture that we live in, the culture where people get in trouble and their ramifications for bad stuff, I think there has to be an opportunity for people to evolve and change. And I don't think that Jason Kidd should be judged by what happened 20 years ago, and I don't think Chauncey Billups should be judged based on what happened 24 years ago. They have changed. They have grown. They've had other jobs since. I mean, Chauncey Billups was with ESPN for a number of years as an analyst. Jason Kidd, this isn't his first head coaching job, right?
No, he was the head coach in Milwaukee, and he was the head coach in New Jersey.
Right. So, I mean, this is not new. These guys have already been
Brooklyn
working
now.
Continuously.
Yeah.
I think it it should be asked, but I don't think it should disbar them from, I don't know if that's the right word, disbar them.
Disqualify
them from having the job. So that'll be interesting. You know, interesting to hear the press conferences when they start. Hey, you know what will be interesting? Hearing Lindsay do Radio Tinder coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, we were talking about our friend Jeff Blake. He was actually the vice chair of Sony Pictures.
Yeah, so that's at the
really,
top of the chain there.
Really big deal. He answered almost nobody. All right. Linz, what do you got in Radio Tinder today?
Well, today, one interesting thing I noticed that happened this morning I wanted to ask you guys about. Yep. The hashtag James Earl Jones started trending early this morning. So a lot of people on Twitter thought, like, the worst ever, like me, you know, thinking usually when you see someone's name trending, it's a lot of times it's because they did something bad or they died.
Or
and
they
since, you know,
away.
He's
sure.
90, a lot of people thought that. But don't worry, 90-year-old James Earl Jones
Baseball.
Is alive and well. He's totally fine. But his name had been mentioned during a raging debate over iconic celebrity voices. The Twitter user Emmy Joe sparked the discussion last night by posing the question, who has the most recognizable voice of all time?
Oh.
Jones was the only name that really trended along with the topic, so the Twitter consensus, at least, seemed to agree that he indeed has the most recognizable voice ever. Do you guys agree? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, let's see who else would be in the discussion.
Who else is in it?
Morgan Freeman, for sure.
Oh, for sure, Morgan Freeman. Who, by the way, has a great run
in the
Kominsky Method. Morgan Freeman does a great turn in Kominsky Method. Really funny show.
I'm trying to think of if you're watching a movie and someone starts narrating, you would know right away. Would you know right away if it's Jack Nicholson or Robert Redford?
No,
I wouldn't.
No, I think this is a one-man race. I mean, you think of Darth Vader. You think of this is CNN.
Mufasa.
You think of Mufasa from Lion King?
Oh, yeah, Mufasa.
Yeah.
The only other name that even really got brought up as much was Elvis, just based on, like, it's Elvis. Whether it's him singing or talking, he had a very distinct voice, I guess, apparently.
Who's the guy that says Allstate?
But I guess I'm too...
That's Dennis Haysbert.
Yeah, that's another one, I think.
He was from the movie Major League, wasn't he, John?
Yeah,
he
played Pedro Serrano.
There you go. Yeah, he's got a good one. Sam Elliott's
got a good
one.
You don't even know his name.
No, that's Dennis Haysbert.
Dennis Haysbert.
We just said his name.
He's the Allstate insurance guy. But I think it's a one-man race. I think it's James Earl Jones.
Yeah, him or Morgan
Fair
Freeman.
Enough.
I think Morgan Freeman people would know right away, but that might be it.
By the way, true fact, James Earl Jones was a stutterer.
No kidding.
Yeah, grew up a stutterer. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and now he's known for his voice. Like Bill Walton.
I think he
Bill
really
Walton
was.
A stutterer.
And. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he
All
was.
Right.
Really
next
a star.
One here.
Baseball.
Yeah. Baseball.
All right, next one. So, Kevin Durant.
You have a problem with pacing here, Lindsay.
Pick. Okay. Kevin Durant has a bone to pick with ESPN's Jackie McMullen. A few days ago, McMullen went on the Bill Simmons podcast, and she said that in a conversation that she had with Durant, she got the impression that he wanted to win 3 championships in Brooklyn to secure his legacy. Here's
right.
exactly what she said.
He's unbelievable. I mean, I do think in talking with him, his genuine goal is to win 3 championships in Brooklyn and
yep.
and make it that his place, his team, his legacy.
All right. So then Durant, you know, since he's a big fan of Twitter and tweeting at literally everybody, of course, he fired back at McMullen on Twitter writing, quote, I don't even talk like this. Plus, I don't have a relationship with Jackie for us to have in-depth conversations about my intentions as a basketball player. I get she plays an opinion-based sport, but she framed this like we are friends. We are not. End quote. Do you guys have an issue with Katie calling out Jackie Mack? Swipe left or swipe right?
I think that he's being an idiot.
Yeah, me too.
She said that she got the impression... She had a conversation with him, and she's relaying how she interpreted it.
Let's play it one more time. Let's just listen to it one more time, what Jackie McMullen said.
He's unbelievable. I mean, I do think, in talking with him, his genuine goal is to win three championships in Brooklyn and yep. and make it that his place, his team, his legacy.
She said in talking with him.
Right, yeah, but in I think she had him. A conversation, and her takeaway from the conversation is she would like to win. Now, I talked to Kobe 1,000 times. He never told me he wanted to win more titles than Shaq, but I clearly thought it. He never came right out and said it. If I would have gone on a show back then and somebody said, do you think Kobe thinks about Shaq? I would have said, well, I think he'd like to win more titles than Shaq. I think that, and then Kobe admitted it after he won his last one that it meant something to him. But I think that he's piling on Jackie
by the
unnecessarily
way, why,
here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I totally agree with Kevin Durant needs to let stuff go. Good God. I mean, he's out there. He's obviously frustrated he lost and, you know, it didn't go the way he hoped. I think personally it's amazing that he was able to come back from a torn Achilles and play the way he did. It wasn't in the cards for them. They had injury issues, all that stuff. But stop lashing out at people. It's a terrible look, I think.
You don't think that maybe there's part of him that doesn't think that, like, oh, I want to make Brooklyn my town, and he's open to potentially leaving or getting traded or whatever? You don't think that that has anything to do with it and that he's just trying to clear the deck?
I don't. You know? I think if you study Kevin Durant and follow him, he just likes to clap back at people.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's
people
one thing
like,
I love about him.
Like eggs on Twitter that have no followers. And,
but don't
and he'll
clap
get
back at Hall of Famer Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, I have no problem with what Jackie said. None.
Me either.
I love Jackie Mac, but I also love KD. And I love the fact that he's so transparent and so sometimes
Except
ridiculous.
Except when he's using his burner account. Then he's less transparent.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, like, when he was going back and forth about the Scottie Pippen stuff last week, I thought that was hilarious. Because I think, you know, he's one of the only guys that's going to do that. And like you guys were talking about unfiltered athletes. Maybe I feel like KD's kind of that guy in a way, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were complaining that athletes don't do or say mm-hmm. anything interesting. And so we really shouldn't be critical when an athlete does or says something interesting.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to agree with everything he says. But the fact that he's saying anything other than like the PR you know, company line, I feel like that's what's great about KD.
Yeah, he's given it. You're right. He's given us fodder. So I disagree with this. I love Jackie Mack, you know, Hall of Famer. She's fantastic. But I do love that Durant is out there saying stuff that's interesting and creating stuff for us to talk about.
Me too, Mace.
He's probably arguably right now the most complete player in the game, I think. He's the best player in the NBA at this moment.
For sure.
John, do you agree with that?
He's the best offensive player right now for sure.
All right, Lux, what you got?
All right, so Reading Rainbow host and Star Trek actor LeVar Burton is going to serve as guest host of Jeopardy next month after fans campaigned for him to get behind the lectern. Burton has been open about the fact that he believes he should be picked as the late Alex Trebek's permanent successor. He said, quote, "It's difficult to explain, but there's something inside me that says this makes sense. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I've been watching Jeopardy more or less every night of my life since Art Fleming was host." Burton obviously has a lot of support from his fans as a petition to make him the next host of Jeopardy amassed over 250,000 signatures.
Wow.
And his guest hosting stint is scheduled to begin on July 26. So while he hasn't actually hosted the show yet, I'm sure you guys are familiar with his work, at least, you know, Reading Rainbow. He does commercials, you know, voiceover, stuff like
that.
He's great.
He's great.
Do you think he has what it takes to be the new permanent Jeopardy host?
I think it'll be great. I mean, I won't know until I watch him do it, but Mace, I think he's going to kill it.
You know, of the people that have auditioned, now I think he's going to be great. Of the people who have auditioned, who do we like the most? Who do you like the most?
John's going to say Aaron Rodgers.
No, I thought Aaron Rodgers was fine.
I thought was pretty good was the actress from Big Bang Theory.
Mayim Bialik.
She's actually a physicist.
Yeah, she's in
UCLA.
Real life. Yeah.
So she's a smart girl. Did I see Savannah Guthrie do it? I thought she did well.
I don't like her.
Plus,
she's kind of controversial, don't you think?
Why would she
be controversial?
What didn't you like?
I don't know. I just thought that she just did the job. There wasn't anything special about her. I do agree with Mace that Mayim Bialik whatever her name is.
We'll
I'm sorry,
all have
I'm pronouncing
to learn
it
her name.
Wrong.
I am right. Bialik. Yeah.
I think that she did a good job because she had like those like little one-liners like yeah. Alex Trebek would have. And I thought that, and she used like personal antidotes. Like, oh, just like my family always did. Like, I feel like she personalized it in a way that the other host, for the most part, didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I know she needs the money after Blossom in the Big Bang Theory. So I really hope she gets it. But I think Mayim Bialik is going to get the job in the end. But LeVar Burton should be really good. John, what do you think? Woman hosting Jeopardy.
Fine. You know, yeah. I just whoever does the best job. I think
she's been the best so far. Yeah.
I love LeVar Burton on Reading Rainbow. We watched that all the time in school, and I think it would be great. If as long as he does a good enough job, I think it'd be great, especially yeah. to see a person of color, you know, yep. in that place. It'd be great. All right, I do have one more. Okay. So Google is testing a new feature to notify people when they search for a topic that may have unreliable results. Apparently, the idea is to give people more context about breaking information that's popular online, like, for example, suspected UFO sightings or developing news stories that are actively evolving. The new prompt warns users that the results they're seeing are changing quickly and reads, quote, "If this topic is new, it can sometimes take time for results to be added by reliable sources." Do you think it's necessary now in 2021 for search engines to warn you about potentially inaccurate information?
You mean the internet? Everything on the internet isn't true?
Exactly.
Yeah. Anybody so needs now to they're be told warn you. That? I'm worried about.
Yeah.
No,
swipe left
I don't need
on
a
this.
Warning.
I don't need Google. Doesn't need to be my babysitter, right? Like I will go out. I will Google what I want. Don't give me crazy autofills. You know, I know they're doing stuff now with autofills where they're trying to discourage people from looking at certain stories. Google is probably too powerful right now. And I do not want a warning from Google saying, hey, the site you're looking at or the story you're looking at is quickly evolving, and I will figure it out. I will figure it out. I'm not looking for you to be my babysitter or my nanny. You're my search engine. Just search for what I tell you to search for.
I feel like using the internet in itself, you need to use it with the disclaimer. Not everything that you read here is going to be accurate. And if you don't know that, then you're an idiot.
Agree.
Agree. That's, by the way, where I get all my research for the show.
I know.
Love the internet. All right. You got one more? Is that it?
I don't, but you can follow me on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. Nope. You guys didn't think that I was going to let that one get past you.
How's that working for you, Lindsay? Where are you on subscribers there?
On Instagram followers, I am at 7,200.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I mean, considering it took you years to amass 16,500, I'm
correct.
Doing pretty good for
You're
a month.
On a great pace.
A month
how's
and
your,
a week.
How's your OnlyFans page doing?
It's good. It's doing pretty good.
Anything provocative?
Depends on what you consider provocative.
Oh, that's good tease.
I guess you'll have to subscribe and find out.
There you go. All right, coming up, John, believe it or not, I have actually been somewhere that is clothing optional, and I have opted without it.
What?
And it is surging around the world. Nudism is getting very, very popular coming out of the pandemic. We got that coming up for you. Plus, tonight is the night. Dagger in the heart to the Clippers. Both you Clipper fans are going to be so upset after tonight. After they exit the playoffs. We'll get into that coming up for you, too. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.